Hello. You're listening to Beside Stillwater's Netcast, a tabernacle service of Stillwater's home churches and worship center.
Last week we talked about touching Jesus and seeing him. And what we talked about was how seeing him was synonymous with belief. We don't get to just arbitrarily pretend to know him and there's no effect to our life. And last week, what was stark to me was just that one portion of scripture that said that they had joy and they were still, and they were handling him, and they still didn't believe. They were still disbelieving. And what belief is doing. That's what we talked about. This week we're talking about kind of a variation on the same theme, but it's the idea about joy and belief and doing and those kinds of things. We kind of get that screwed up. We have a kingdom mindset, we think, until we come face to face with the kingdom. This week, the kingdom is in focus, and the idea is the sharp reality between joy versus ease. You know, a distinction between Christianity and the kingdom is something that we talk about a lot. And I believe it was last week we talked about the distinction between the kingdom and the church. Was it last week? The kingdom and the church are not the same thing. When Jesus talks about the kingdom parables, what he's really talking about is he's talking about things that are kind of hosed up. He's talking about things that are messy. He's talking about that there will be sinners around. He's talking about that there will be people that really aren't part of you that say they are and are working to undo you. He uses examples of fields and wheat growing up with tares, and he says, don't do anything about it. He says, you just don't worry about, you know, the weeds. You let them grow together with the weed. And let me worry about the harvest time. He talks about sheep again, and he talks about sheep pens, and some of the sheep that are in the pen aren't his. And so there's a distinction. But now, remember, what he's talking about is he's talking about what the kingdom is like, and the kingdom is all around us. The kingdom is the kingdom of heaven is the gospel of the kingdom. It's not, have you accepted Jesus into your heart personally? Please show me that in scripture somewhere, and I'll believe. Please let me handle that and touch it, and then I'll believe. But until then, until somebody shows me that scripture, that's not what he's talking about. And the truth is that the kingdom are the folks that are on the outskirts of us. It's those who want goods and services. It's those who need or think they need. It's those who want to be attached so they can benefit. There are all those kinds of things that go on, and we have that in our midst, and every church has that. Judging by the amount of people that are here tonight, we get that, okay? Wednesday night will be a different story, correct? Yeah. And we made the distinction that the church, though, is the ecclesia. It's the called out, called together ones. It's the ones that gather around the person of Christ and the fact that he's risen, not that he's on the cross. The cross has been fashioned into a hood ornament now. It's an instrument of death, and our crosses do not have him on them. So there's a distinction. When Jesus says that there's the good news that the kingdom has arrived, what he's saying is that there is a king and there is a kingdom, And the subjects of that kingdom are the church, but the whole kingdom are the folks that maybe don't want to be part. And in the same way, what we talk about, and well, let me retract. Let me backtrack. Most people don't want a Christianity that's hard. Most people want a convenient, personal Jesus buddy. And when Jesus, of course, would not impact me, Jesus would not want me to do something that I don't want to do. He wouldn't ask me to sell my possessions. He wouldn't ask me to give up my life, or would he? And so, the people that are in the kingdom, maybe they're wheat, maybe they're the tares, maybe they're the sheep that don't really belong to the sheepfold. Again, we don't figure out who that is. We continue. And most of those people might believe that they're part of the church, because they want to attach themselves. They're the ones who come demanding. But as soon as things are not easy, they fall away. They go away. They run away. And so there's, last week we talked about this idea of the kingdom being a hard place, and the church, in fact, being a hard place. And that there was a difference between happy all the time and joy. Joy is something that we have, and we talked about this, John Michael, when we were sitting in church on Tuesday, and we were talking about who was surrounding us, who was there, remember? And who was sitting at the table. We were in context, we were talking about what the kingdom looks like. And we're talking about first century church equals church of the United States in the 21st century. And we were making a comparison that the church at large is about big. And it's about great. And it's about positiveness. And it's about a whole bunch of things that you really have a hard time finding Jesus talking about. And what our litmus test for us was, how closely do we resemble the first century church? Because I think that through the course of time, we're falling away from the original idea of being Christ's disciple. And we talked about the folks who were at the table. And the folks who were at the table were John Michael and Ron and John, and there was Norman and Tanya, and there were some folks that weren't even part of us who were there, and there were people from varying degrees of income levels and races, and what we all had in common is we were the outcasts. We were the ones that weren't accepted in normal church, you know, the way we thought. The other thing is that we were the, by and large, we were the ones who were told we weren't allowed to be in town with a shelter. We were the ones run out of town. We were the ones who came through the shelter in one way or another. We were the ones who had difficult lives. We didn't have the perfect lives. And we talked about Ron and Patrice coming to us, and how when they came to us, the first thing that they began to do was they have a van and they utilized it for the kingdom. John Michael, the first thing he did when he came to us is he's serving dinner. And we sat at that table feeling fulfilled and feeling joy. Our lives were not easy, and they still aren't. But who do we know? Do we reflect the first century church? And in reflecting the first century church, do we have the crowd all around us who aren't really part of us, but we have to serve them, like the Sermon on the Mount? So the idea of joy and ease is the difference between living life in the kingdom versus living in Christianity. See, we believe that we are the church, and we work with lots of churches who are also the church. But the mainstream idea of church as being the big building that you go to and that you serve the building is not what Jesus' idea was. Our church is, you can see by the numbers tonight, are not particularly interested in this type of setting. But that doesn't make them not the church. And so what we have around us is we have the kingdom. Our church, our ecclesia, our called out, called together ones, called out and called together into what? Into Christ, into his service, into the things that he is. That's what we're called into. That's what it means, having his same spirit, having the same spirit that was in Christ in you or in us. So we have to make a distinction between life in the kingdom and if we're living life in Christianity. I, unfortunately, first thing I did when I woke up this morning is clicked on the TV to see what the weather was going to be, and I decided to watch Joel Osteen. And I was like, I tolerated it for maybe, what, 2 minutes, three tops. And he was talking about, you know, don't worry, God will get even for you. That you just go ahead and be, you know, joyful and happy. Because God will get even with those people around you. And and I know that that sounds like a nice message, you know, like don't put your trust in yourself and lay your life low and just be about serving God. But the underlying thing is that, you know, really wanting to like get somebody is not a good thing. You know, it's something that I struggle with. I'll confess it to you. Do I take great pride in the fact that the ACLU just filed suit for Schenkel? Sure I do. In my heart, I'm a sinner. That does not mean that that's God's perfection. That means it's something that I got to fight against. That is not kingdom-minded, although it is very Christian-minded lately, isn't it? So that's a confession. TV evangelists are all about self-promoting, and they're all about motivational speaking. They're all about that. And as long as there's positiveness going on, and as long as we're all smiling and things are going well and we're happy, we are good Christians. I had a conversation with a friend this week that just sickened me. I am so sick in my heart about some things that are going on. A church that was planted at the same time that ours was. And used all the same words about what we are trying to become, that they're more about business. That they've heaped burdens on folks, and in the course of time that they've been together, they've put together teams and things, and they manage things really well, and they do things from a business model. And in the course of time, they've become wise of how you do things in church. And in wise actions, economical actions, actions where what you have to do is manage people. They've heaped heavy burdens and refused to lift a finger to release people from their burdens. These are good friends, and and it kills me inside. In this film that we just saw, looking at the modern church of the United States today, and looking at Joel Osteen, and looking at the business model for doing church, and looking at TV evangelists, and looking at big, incredible church buildings, and looking at this poor woman with a smile drawing water at the river, does that Christianity even make sense in that context? The Christianity of having more, the Christianity of having big things, building big ministries, starting, creating leadership teams and having managers and CEOs and having all that. A simple woman drawing water. If we were to experience that here in the United States, we would feel ourselves far away from God. Oh, how has this happened to us? Oh, we can't even turn on the tap. It's broken. See, we export the imperialism of the United States when we do missions to other countries. We export to around the world with our Christianity consumerism, capitalism. When Jesus says, "Come to me, and I'll give you rest." When he says, "Lose your life." Tonight, what our scripture is tonight, it talks about love. And it talks about abiding in Christ. And those are very simple concepts. Number one, let's read from John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hands, now first of all, does he really mean lay down your life for the sheep? Really? But what about when it gets difficult? What about when the sheep are wandering? What about when this gets too difficult? What if it gets dangerous? The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolves coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. Yeah, it's business, isn't it? The business of doing church. And when things get difficult, I know my own. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it up for me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. What command? See, Psalm 23 is what our church is founded on. Because I think that that is what life is like in the kingdom. I think it's a good, it's like the most pure and perfect model of what the kingdom is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not find myself in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters, not rushing waters. Not waters that are rushing by so quickly that I have to like try to get a drink, and if I'm not careful, it'll grab me and pull me in, and the weight of my own wool will drown me. He leads me beside a nice quiet stream, a brook. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you're with me and your rod and your staff comfort me. Now, are we promised a safe journey? It's a loaded question, because it's promising that we will walk in darkness. We will walk in the valley of the shadow of death. But we know that he's there. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you understand why we call Wednesday night the table? And we go to a bad neighborhood and we set up food? And maybe I'm just being too ridiculously literal with this, but I mean, I don't think that we're on bad ground in doing that. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Anointing your head with oil is healing. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. The house of the Lord, the kingdom. See, the kingdom isn't a perfect place. It's in the shadow of death. It's disquieting if we really aren't following a shepherd. If we stray away, where are we? Does it sound like love to you, what this shepherd is willing to do? In our reading from Acts, they are pulled in front of the religious elite for doing good. And Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he says to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked, how is this man healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." You see, living life in the kingdom will draw you, it'll put you before kings, it'll put you before governors, it'll put you before judges, it'll put you in uncomfortable situations before the religious elite. It'll put you in the company of people that say that church must be done as a business. But we're promised assurance in the dark places. And this is why we have to make the distinction between what is the church and what is the kingdom. Because whether we know it or not, if we are in the church, we serve the whole kingdom. Not the ones who are willing, not the ones who will reciprocate. What we do is we serve the whole kingdom. whether it's the hangers-on, whether it's the people who really are there for all the wrong reasons, that is what we do. And we wonder why we struggle with our Christianity. We wonder, and we need these guys on Sunday morning to give us our pep talk. And the reason that we do is because somewhere inside, we know that we're far away from God. Somehow, if we're the ones hauling water, we think God's left us. And so we need a pep talk because all we're doing is personal Christianity. And there's no place for personal Christianity. Christianity is us living together in the church. Listen to this. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who says, who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in words or in speech, but in truth and in actions. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our hearts condemn us, you hear that? For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his command and do what pleases him. And this is his command, that we should believe. What did we say that means last week? Doing. In the name of the Son. In the name of the Son? Oh, you mean not in the name of Caesar? Not in the name of church? Not in the name of a denomination? And love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given. A couple things there, real quick. What this is saying is that if we don't do the acts of love with our hands, if we don't do things, we will always walk around in some kind of doubt. There are very few people that I know who are actively busy serving God, doing really hard things, who don't look back on that and say, oh my, he was with us. But the person who thinks that God's there to serve him, you know, the one who tosses a prayer up, the one who says, it's just me and God, the ones who are busy going about doing, accumulating things, the ones who are busy just doing whatever they want and putting a Christian veneer on it, are the same folks who need the pep talk. Because if my Christian experience is going to a building each week with a bunch of total strangers and getting getting a God rush, and then I have to go and be autonomous the rest of the week, I don't have to serve anybody. You will need to come back the next week for a refill. You will have to come back to try to get a feeling again. Because your own heart will condemn you if you're not found in him. How can we say that we follow him, or believe in him, or that we've seen him, or that we've touched him, that we've handled him, if our hands refuse to do any of that? What's interesting is that I find myself walking around outside of this place And I feel more in church than I do in here. No pastor wants to preach to an empty room like I do. Nobody wants that. But you place me out there, walking up and down High Street at the car show yesterday, and running into you guys, and running into everybody else, running into folks who were in the shelter, running into people saying that they have need of this and they have need of that, and somehow I'm trying. Somehow I recognize God in the person who's standing in front of me saying that they want something, and what I do is I open my hand to try to do that. Why does that feel more like first century Christianity than us sitting here talking like this to an empty room? Because what John the Apostle is saying here is he's not saying that our hearts will be free of condemnation if we go to church on Sunday and do something dutifully. What he's saying is that, and here it is, how does God's love, this is his command, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and refuses help? See, that's the safety of being with the shepherd in the valley. See, somebody who needs help is in death. And the church, the community, following the shepherd, is in their shadow. That's lurking all around them. It's the valley. It's the valley of the shadow of death. And it's there that they're fearing no evil, because fear? Perfect love does what? A love that has an open hand does what? Isn't that what casts out all fear? Isn't that what he's commanding here? A perfect love? He's saying, love. Love with your hand. Love. If you see somebody who needs help, love. If somebody is in need, is that what the church ought to be? Of course. It's also what it means to abide in him. If I refuse that, how can I be abiding in him? How can I be found in him? Abiding, how can you not love and abide in him? See, the kingdom, being in the kingdom, assures us. That's where we have assurance. And it is abiding. But the other side, Christianity that's just in dark places, the Christianity that's in dark places is death. It's not even in his name. So we can live in the kingdom doing what he does, and that's the thing that assures us that we're in him. That we're abiding in him. That's a kingdom life, which is what we're endeavoring to do being a Psalm 23 church. Or what we can do is we can be Christians. We can follow Christianity, and we'll be the ones needing help in the dark places, the ones that are enduring the death. But it says that we'll dwell in his house forever. Abiding with him, let's distill this down to what it really is it's loving with our hands. think I mentioned it last week, where are our scars? Thomas had to see him and handle him and put his finger in the holes. And that's what I'm asking us. If we are the body of Christ today, where are our scars? Because that's what gives us street cred. That's what gives us credibility. If we're just at a car show, or in this place, or anywhere else, where are our scars? What we ought to be asking ourselves is, where are these dark places? And where are we willing to walk with open hands and loving deeds that will show the world the kingdom? And in a sense, cooperating with Christ in shepherding a really broken world.
You have been listening to Beside Stillwater's netcast. For more information about Stillwater's and its ministries, please visit besidestillwaters.net.